If you look in your bulletin, I think this week and last week, are the only weeks where the message doesn't have a scripture listed under the title, which is simply because we're really talking about that silence, and the silence in the Bible takes place in between the New and the Old Testament, and there's no scripture that covers that. So that's why there's lots of scriptures about silence and prayer and stuff like that, but I didn't want to use that. So, anyway, last week we talked about the silent years, the time covered in the Old Testament between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And because just as people who are faithful to God experience silence then, we as individuals often have that same experience today. Each of us have those moments. For some of us, it's rare. For some of it's more happens more often, where it just seems like God's not on the other end of the line for us sometimes. You know, last week we talked about some reasons why God would be silent. And well, that's not quite right either. We talked about what we should do when God is silent. Not so much as the reason God is silent. We talked about what to do in the silence when the silence is coming from God's end of the relationship. We learned a few things last week. Hopefully we learned a few things last week. We learned that in the silence, God is still working. And though you may not hear him speaking, if you listen closely, you'll hear him working. And in those 400 years, God was working faithfully to prepare the world for the birth of his son. In hindsight, we see that clearly. We look at the history books, and we see everything taking place, and we can see where God was working. But in the moment, it's hard to see that. And you can be sure that in your silence, whenever you're going through it, God is still working in your life. Even if he's not speaking to you, he's still working. Second, we discovered last week that in the silence, God keeps his promises. We wonder why God hasn't spoken, but we're reminded that he already has. In fact, he's spoken through his word. He continues to speak to us every day through his word. So in the silence, we learn to open up God's word. And we're reminded of what he's already said continues to be true. The third thing we discovered is that in the silence, God is still watching. And for some of us, that's not a good thing. That doesn't, you know, that's, we don't necessarily want God seeing everything that we do sometimes. The purpose of God's silence may not be to test your faith, but we know that whether that's the purpose or not, that's usually the result in some way. We talked about how the teacher is silent during a test, that God has prepared you and you're ready for the moment. When it seems like he's walked away, he's prepared you for that moment. So when it seems that God is silent, it's just a matter of sticking to doing what we know is right. Because in the end, there's a crown of life waiting for each of us. So here's what I want us to talk about this week. What if the silence is because of something going on our end? And this is really usually where the problem is on our end. Because our tendency is to say, God, why aren't you speaking? Why is heaven silent? But what if the problem is what we're doing? Is there something we can do to turn up the volume so that we can hear God more clearly so that your prayers are more effective? Because here's what I'm sure of. When there feels like there is this sound barrier between us and God, where he's not getting our prayers, we don't seem to be hearing from him, it's because of something usually on our end. If you've ever tried to fix a piece of electronic equipment, you know that in the back of the user's manual or the instructions, guys, those are the white pages that usually come with a product. Because usually as a guy, we don't go to the instruction book until it doesn't work. And then we look for reasons where to explain to us why it's not working. If you look in the back of the user's manual, usually there's what's called a troubleshooting guide, where you're trying to repair something and you know you don't know a whole lot about, but something's wrong with it, so this guide helps you go through the steps. And it works like this. You eliminate everything that isn't the problem so that you can isolate what is the problem. And you go through a list, and it's not this, then you move on to the next step, and it's not that, and you move on to the next step. And you make your way through the whole list of this troubleshooting guide of these frequently experienced problems with this equipment. So today we're going to talk about a troubleshooting guide for God's silence. or the silence we experience. This is not a comprehensive list, okay? There are many other things that go on here, but I think these will be helpful. Because I think these are the common problems we experience that oftentimes don't get addressed when we feel frustrated with the silence that we're experiencing. So here's troubleshooting tip number one. And some of this is obvious, some of it might be new to you. Troubleshooting tip number one, confess your sin. If you're having a hard time hearing from God, or if it seems that God isn't listening, it may be that there is some sin in your life that you need to repent of. Unconfessed sin in our lives is like white noise that keeps us from hearing God, and it makes it harder for God to hear us. So every time we confess a sin, it turns down the volume on some of that noise that surrounds us. And when we confess our sin, it allows God to hear us more clearly. It allows us to hear Him more clearly. You see this connection throughout Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 59, Isaiah writes these words. He says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear." That's not the problem. You think the problem is in your relationship with God is God. That God is not able to help you. That His arm is too short, that His, in other words, His power is not enough to save you. Or that He's not able to hear you, that His ears aren't picking things up. And you're crying out to Him, but it's a busy season and it seems like there's a lot going on. Maybe it's not getting through to Him. And we think the problem is God. And Isaiah says the problem isn't God. The problem is your iniquities have separated you from your God. And he goes on to write, "Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear." So ask yourself, is there a sin in your life that you need to confess? Is there something in your life that you need to repent of? Some of us have these things in our lives as we've been holding on to them for so long, we say, well, it can't be a big deal. It's been so long. It's not a big deal. And we think it's not a big deal to God anymore because it's been so long. And I don't think that's how it works. Because God hasn't accepted it. What is it in your life, the sin in your life, that maybe God would want to draw to the surface so that you'll deal with it and be able to communicate more clearly with Him? The Bible says when we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe there's some sin or noise in your life that you need to deal with. It's kind of like, husbands, you'll appreciate this. Wives, not so much. If your wife, say she's giving you the silent treatment, and we all have experienced this at some point, right? And she's quiet and you're not sure, it could mean there's something wrong, but maybe it doesn't. And you start thinking, have I done something? And what's that telling really is you need to figure out what you've done. But husbands, what you know and what I know is that, you know, we're kind of working against the clock in that situation. Because it's much better for us to figure it out on our own before we're told what we did wrong. So if your wife is kind of quiet and you're probably, it could be any number of things, right? But it may just be that she's had a rough day and it may be that there's something you've done wrong. And you don't want to come out and say, did I do something wrong? You don't really want to just start confessing things because that never works out well, right? I mean, come on. But you have to ask yourself, is there something I need to make right? Her silence, this silence is an invitation for you to do a little bit of self-examination. And before you talk to her, you probably ought to think through that. But more than anything, the silence is an invitation to think about things. And it's the same way with the silence you get from God. Here's troubleshooting tip number two, forgive. If you read and you study the word prayer in Scripture, what you find is more than any other word than faith, The word prayer is connected to forgiveness. That our connection to God has a lot to do with our connection to each other. And when there's bitterness and when there's anger in our hearts towards each other, it makes it harder for us to hear from God and for God to hear us. Mark 11:25, Jesus says, "When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." How we relate to God and how we relate to each other, these things all go together. The writer of the book of Hebrews wrote in chapter 12, verse 15, "Watch out that no bitterness takes root among you, for as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many people in their spiritual lives." We have this tendency to think that when there is anger and there's bitterness, lack of forgiveness between me and someone else, that's between me and someone else. But that has an impact on our spirituality as well. It not only affects your connection with them, it affects your connection with Him. Anger and bitterness are kind of like that fluid that builds up in your ears when you've got a cold, and everything just sounds muffled. And everybody that's talking to you sounds like the teacher on the Peanuts, or any adult on the Peanuts. No. Does anybody watch the Peanuts? If you're under 30, you probably didn't get that, but sorry. But everything's got a little bit muffled when you have that. Until you get rid of that bitterness, until you get rid of the anger that you're holding on to, it's harder to hear from God. Here's troubleshooting tip number 3. Honor your wife. Now, obviously, this goes both ways, okay? It has clear implications for both sides of the aisle, all right? But the Bible's pretty specific about speaking specifically to husbands here. But I don't want the wives to think you're getting off easy. The Bible speaks specifically about how husbands treat their wives, how you talk to your wives has a direct connection to how God hears from you and how God speaks to you. 1 Peter 3, verse 7, "In the same way you husbands must live with your wives with proper understanding, that they are more delicate than you." In other words, treat them with respect. Treat them with honor. Peter also says, "Because they will also receive together with you God's gift of life." And then here's what Peter has: Do this so that nothing will stop your prayers. You treat your wives this way so that nothing will get in the way of your communication with God. You also see this connection in Malachi. Malachi is the last one in the Old Testament. It's the last book in the Old Testament. This is around 430 years before Christ is born. The last thing that God says through the prophet Malachi to his people before he goes silent for 400 years, he talks specifically to the men about how they are treating their wives. Malachi 2, verses 13 and 14. "You weep and wail because the Lord no longer pays attention to your offerings. And you wonder why. You ask, why? God, why aren't you listening to our prayers? Why aren't you paying attention to our worship? And you get all worked up. You wonder why. And then he says, it is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth. You have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant." You wonder why there's this disconnect between you and God. And God is saying, it's because it's not just the two of you. It's the three of us. When you stood and you made a covenant promise to your spouse, it's not just to your spouse. It's to God as well. And it's God saying, I'm stepping in here as a witness. You want to know why heaven seems silent? You want to know why it feels like you're worship isn't being appreciated very much? It's because I'm stepping in and I'm acting as a witness between you and the wife of your youth. There's a direct connection. So the question is, husbands, do you treat your wives? How do you treat your wives? Do you treat God's daughters with respect and with honor? Or let me try it this way, because this is really the way it should read. husbands and wives, how are you treating your spouses? Do you care for them? Do you speak words of life and grace into their lives? Do you place their needs above your own, or even on par with your own? The most important relationship you have in this life is between you and God. The next most important is between you and your spouse. I don't just want you to acknowledge that. But more importantly, I want your spouse to see and to experience that in their lives. Troubleshooting tip number 4 is to care for the needy. Again, this is consistent throughout Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. You see God saying, why would you think that you can go and ask me for help if there are people around you who are asking for help and you don't seem to care? Why would you think you can come and cry out to me and say, God, I need you, if there are people around you who are saying, I need you, and you don't have any time to consider their requests? Proverbs 21, verse 13, if you close your ears to the cry of the poor, you will cry out and you won't be heard. In the Old Testament, there's a story in Isaiah about the Israelites who are wondering why God hasn't answered their prayers. They've been praying. In fact, they've been fasting. They've been trying to humble themselves. And it seems to them that they're doing everything right, that even what they're praying for is within the will of God. But they're just coming up empty. There just seems to be no word from the Lord. And then in Isaiah 58, verse 3 through 9, here's what you read. It says, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit your workers. In other words, you come to church and you worship and you pray, but you spent the entire day taking advantage of people who you live with or who you work with. Isaiah goes on, you cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? God says to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked, to clothe him. Then God says, you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. So sometimes you wonder why God isn't responding, but you're not responding to the people in your life who need help. There are some people that God has brought to your attention, maybe this week or this month, maybe even more recently than that, that just need help. And it's within your capacity to help them. Now, we tend to immediately think, when I start talking about something like this, we tend to immediately think that caring for the needy means I need to write a check or I need to give some money. Well, maybe. Maybe it does, but maybe it doesn't. Maybe it isn't financial help that's needed. Maybe it's something other than that. Maybe helping them learn something new that will keep them from being in the same situation that they're in now. Maybe it's sitting down with them and praying with them. Just think about that. What are some things you can do? How can you care for the needy? Because that has a direct impact on how we hear from God and how God hears from us. Tip number 5, be still and listen. And this is something that we all tend to struggle with, because we all tend to have a little touch of ADHD or something in us that just prevents us from being able to sit. It used to be people could sit and read huge books and spend hours reading a book. And now we grid for about 3 minutes before the next commercial break. We all tend to struggle with this. When we talk about prayer, in fact, if you just listen to messages and read books and such, that you'll find is, what you'll find is the focus is almost always on what we should be asking God to do. Here's what we need to say. Prayer is almost always described as a one-way communication where we talk to God. But that's not really a healthy relationship, is it? I mean, if you're in a marriage, if one of you is doing all the talking, something's wrong in the relationship, isn't it? No, I shouldn't say isn't it. If one of you is the only one doing the talking, there's a problem in your relationship, okay? Maybe God is speaking, but we don't have the volume turned up because we're busy talking. We're just talking over him constantly. And we have a hard time hearing him speak then. Now look, I understand maybe what you're thinking, Knight. I wish God would speak just a little bit more clearly, sometimes a little bit more obviously. I mean, I've had moments, and I'm sure you've had moments, where you get this feeling and you know, that's God talking to me. That's God telling me exactly what I need to do, and everything is clear cut and easy. But those don't happen that often. Nobody drives down the road and sees billboards with God talking to them. There are no flashing messages that show up on the TV or anywhere like that, okay? I was reminded, though, of a story in Numbers, because nobody reads Numbers, right? Numbers chapter 22, and the prince of Moab goes to the prophet of God, Balaam, and says to Balaam, I want you to go curse God's people. So this is God's prophet, and he's going to go curse God's people. God's not going to let that happen. So God sends an angel of the Lord to stop Balaam. And Balaam is on his donkey, riding his donkey to go curse the people of God. And suddenly the donkey stops because the donkey sees there's an angel of the Lord standing in the road. Balaam doesn't see it. His eyes are closed. The donkey tries to run off and go off the road and go around the angel. Balaam beats the donkey back onto the road. And I'm, in my mind, I get this image of Shrek beating this donkey. No. And then they go a little further, and you got the angel of the Lord with a sword again, standing in the middle of the road. And again, the donkey sees him and tries to go off the road and around the angel of the Lord. Balaam beats the donkey back onto the road, and they keep on going. This happens a third time. And then here's what you read in verse 27. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down under Balaam, and Balaam was angry, and he beat the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? This is the donkey speaking. Balaam, like it happens every day, starts talking to his donkey. You have made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? So not only is the donkey speaking, it's actually using logic. He says, have I done such things to you in the past? And Balaam's like, well, no, you got a point there. You've never done that. And the Bible says that the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. You think? But that's an example of God speaking in a clear, obvious way. Have you had donkeys talking to you? That's not how it plays out most times. More often than not, God speaks to us in the silence. It tends to play out a little bit more like it did with his prophet Elijah, where God calls a meeting with Elijah on the mountain. And Elijah goes and he waits for God. And then there is this strong wind that blows through the area, and Elijah's like, oh, God must be in that wind. And the wind dies down, and God's not in the wind. And then there's an earthquake that shakes the whole mountain, and Elijah thinks God is in the earthquake. That's how he's going to speak. And the earthquake stops, and God's not speaking. And there's this fire that sweeps through the area, and Elijah thinks, well, God must be in the fire. But the fire dies down, and God's not in the fire. And then the Bible tells us that God speaks to Elijah in a gentle whisper. But the literal translation, it says it's even quieter than a whisper. The NRSV, which probably nobody has, translates it as the sound of sheer silence. That the voice of God is described, the voice of God is described as silence. That's when he hears from the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms to be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Here's a definition of stillness for you. Stillness is silence on the outside and surrender on the inside. Silence on the outside, surrender on the inside. So here's the challenge. It's that we tend to be really bad at this one and this one. Silence and surrender are things that we tend not to do very well. But if you're trying to turn up the volume, you're trying to hear from God, silence on the outside and surrender on the inside is important. I'll give you one last troubleshooting tip, and this, I don't even think it's on your bulletin. But this might seem too obvious once I say it. I think though we need this sometimes. Let's go back to the printer analogy, okay? If you're trying, or the electronic equipment analogy where we've talked about the troubleshooting guide. If you're trying to fix the printer or whatever it is and you're going through this troubleshooting guide and you pushed all the buttons and you've gone through all the steps and at the end it's still not working. It's still dead. What's wrong? Because there's one step that's rarely in the troubleshooting guide. You notice it's unplugged. It's not even plugged into the wall. You ever done that before? Where you've worked and worked and worked on something and you're like, oh, I should plug that in. And you look around to make sure nobody saw you. Why don't they put that in the troubleshooting guide? Because that's insulting. Of course we're going to have it plugged in. But we need that. Here's the last one. Number 6. Become a Christian. And what I really mean by that is become a committed Christian. I talk to people all the time who are frustrated spiritually because they can't figure out God's will for their lives or there's something going on in their life. And they don't understand why they don't hear from God more clearly. And they feel like they can give this track record of everything they've done and all the ways that God has failed them. And then you discover, after talking to them, that their Christianity is really a name only. Because they've never put their trust in Christ. Listen, prayer fundamentally is a relationship that we have with God that's only made possible through Jesus Christ. Without Christ in our lives, we don't have a connection to God. It is through Jesus Christ that we're able to hear from God and speak to God. So maybe some of you just need to hear this just to become a committed Christian. And if you struggle with trying to figure that out or understand what that means, we can talk after service or sometime. Becoming a committed Christian means stepping over a line in whatever it is that's holding you back and keeping you from fully submitting to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us that when we pray, we are to pray in Jesus' name. John chapter 8 puts it this way, and this isn't a feel-good message right here, okay? This isn't a feel-good verse. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. For many of us, that's the problem in our lives, at certain stages in our lives. The reason heaven seems silent, and the reason you don't hear from God is that you haven't submitted to Him. God isn't worried about having a conversation with an equal. If you think you're on par with God, or sitting on the same seat as Him, you're on the wrong track. The Christian life is about submission. How do you do that? Does God just take you and you're His and you submit? You belong to God when you give yourself to Him, when you surrender your heart to Him. And everything you do in your life, everything you try to do in your life, is filtered through what does He want me to do? Where does He want me to go? That's how you surrender. Would you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious Father, we are sometimes it is hard work being a follower. Usually it's hard work because we haven't submitted and we haven't surrendered to you, Lord. So whatever it is in our lives, whatever it is that gets in the way, takes us down rabbit holes, turns us in another direction away from you, whatever it is, Lord, we ask that you would change our hearts. Give us a heart. Give us a heart to love the things you love, hate the things you hate. Help us to be the hands and feet of your kingdom, to reach into other people's lives and share the good news and the difference that you have made in our lives with others. Help us to be the church you've chosen us to be, the people you've chosen us to be. Help us to truly be followers who worship you in every possible way. We pray all this through Jesus Christ. Amen.